This is Pastor Joshua Swilly, and you're listening to the Hope United Podcast. We pray that this message is a blessing to you. Look at somebody and say, you are in for a treat. I'm happy to have Pastor Corinne up here with me teaching today. That's good. Come a little closer. 15 years, we should be pretty close right now. But we just want to give her a big hand. She's working hard.
Thank you.
She's got doing that music, singing, carrying that baby all at the same time. Amen. She's awesome. But she told me there's no way you're teaching on worship and no way you're going to finish the series on worship and I don't say something. So she's up here. She's got something to say today. So, amen. That's all right. You can give her a hand. There's some people that wanted to give a hand. That's good. But today we're in our last in the series of a lifestyle of worship. And we're talking about this journey that we're on with God, that we don't want to just have moments in worship, but we want to actually have a lifestyle, a life full of worship. And so we've called this a lifestyle of worship. And today I want to speak to you specifically on a topic that I think is very important that kind of wraps everything up. And that is worship requires sacrifice. Yeah. So if you're writing something down today, you can put that at the top of your notes. Worship requires sacrifice. If it's easy, it's not a sacrifice. And if it's not a sacrifice, it might not be worship. Because worship will cost you something. Look at somebody beside you and tell them, worship will cost you something. You know, we do a lot of music here and, you know, nobody wants to hear the song that's sung really kind of casually. Everybody wants to hear a song that's sung with passion, something that's sung with some heart in it. You know what I'm saying? You got that song that you listen to, whether it's a Christian song or it's a song between you and your wife, and it is somebody singing from the heart. They're coming from the heart. Well, when we offer God worship, it can't be casual. It has to have heart in it. And I was thinking about a lot of times the way we pick music, how we choose different keys to sing songs in. You can basically do it three ways when you're picking a key to sing a song in. You can sing it in a song that's totally bad for you, right? It's way too high and you're cracking. It's way too low and you're bottoming out. You can't sing it well at all. Or you can sing it number two, second option, you can sing it in a real easy key for yourself, right? It's easy, it's casual, there's not much work or effort. Or number three, you could sing it in your power range. Yeah. Now the power range is going to cost you something. Might get a little vein on the side of your neck. It's going to be some energy. There's going to be some intensity when you're singing in your power range. Actually, my dad used to tell me, if there's not a vein popping out on the side of your neck, you're probably not singing yet. But all in all, when we hear something, if we're from a natural perspective, oftentimes, and we're hearing something and we want to hear something with heart, how much does God want to hear the praise of his children from the heart? Something that's not casual, but something that cost us something. Something that's a sacrifice.
I love this because we're going to dive into a little bit on what exactly does that mean? Because we hear that a lot in church. What is it to offer a sacrifice of praise? And this week I was reading in Malachi and I came across this scripture and I said, man, this is just like perfect for what we're teaching on this week. So Malachi 1, 6 through 9. The Lord of heaven's army says to the priests, a son honors his father and a servant respects his master. If I am your father and master, where are the honor and respect I deserve? You have shown contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we ever shown contempt for your name? You have shown contempt by offering defiled sacrifices on my altar. Then you ask, how have we defiled the sacrifices? You defile them by saying the altar of the Lord deserves no respect. When you give blind animals as sacrifices, isn't that wrong? And isn't it wrong to offer animals that are crippled and diseased? Try giving gifts like that to your governor and see how pleased he is, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Go ahead, beg God to be merciful to you. But when you bring that kind of offering, Why should he show you any favor at all? Asked the Lord of Heaven's armies. And I thought, wow, you know, I mean, that was a very heavy statement. And they're talking specifically about sacrificial offerings. But if you fast forward today, what kind of offerings do we give? We give offerings with our money. We give offerings with our worship. And it's important, I think, for us to really assess, like, when I'm worshiping, am I really giving God my best? When we give something that's half-hearted, when we give something that, when we come in and we're worshiping and we're distracted, you know, I think that is today's version of giving a sacrifice that isn't 100%, isn't pure like God wants it. You know, he wants our full affection. He wants our full attention. And in a world that grabs at your attention all day long, every day, on social media, on TV, wherever you go, marketing, it's fully saturated. We have to discipline ourselves that when we come and we set a space aside for him, that it's really for him, that we really give him a sacrifice of praise. It's not something easy. It's not, hey, I came in here on Sunday and I watched everybody worship and we had a good time and we left. No, did you engage? Did you engage? Did you connect with your heavenly Father? Because he wants to connect with us. And when we do when we have those precious moments in his presence, they mean something so great. So it's important for us to give a true sacrifice.
Amen. So we realize we're not talking about giving a sacrifice. We're not talking about a bull or a ram or a sheep. We're actually talking about, you know, the sacrifices that God is expecting from us, something that's, you know, tangible, something that's realistic. And oftentimes that's a sacrifice of praise, but sometimes it's a sacrifice of praise in a different way. One time we were at this powerful prayer night, and I don't know who was there on Thursday, but Thursday, for those that missed it, Thursday night, we had an awesome prayer night Thursday night, and we kind of came together and prayed for each other. That's what we did, because, you know, our year is possessing the promise. And that's the word God gave us, that he had promises for our lives. And specifically, there's some promises that he wanted to bring about this year. And so some people had experienced that and we were celebrating with them, but other people have not. And so he said, let's get together. Let's pray for each other that God would help us and that we would walk in the full promise. But we were in a similar prayer night Thursday night, and it was beautiful. It was worship and prayer, and God told me to give away my new keyboard, and I was like, "Oh Jesus, is that you?"
He loves keyboards.
I know you're not supposed to love an item, but come on, you know, it's a keyboard, okay? And I had saved up my money. This was an expensive keyboard. I had just recently purchased it, and I really felt God saying, give this keyboard. That's a sacrifice for you. That's a sacrifice of praise. And so, you know, at first there was some resistance, but that night I said, I don't want to miss my opportunity to give a sacrifice of praise. Mm. And I want to tell you that God will always challenge you. Whatever you've done before, God isn't going to ask you to do that again. Right. He's going to ask you to do something a little bit further, a little bit more than you've done before, because God is about stretching our faith and challenging us to greater levels in the Spirit. So God will always challenge you, but God will never disappoint you.
Amen.
So whatever you give, God always blesses. When you come in and you offer a sacrifice of praise, whether it's this type or that type or whatever variation of praise that you're giving, God never disappoints. And God blessed me back several times over for that keyboard that I planted that day. God gave me keyboards. God gave me musical opportunities. God gave me open doors in other areas because I was obedient to to have a sacrifice. And so don't miss your opportunity to bring a sacrifice. I could tell you the opposite side. I could tell you a different story of a friend that God told him, give a car away. And man, that's a huge thing. That's a huge thing. You got to really be trusting God and you got to hear from God. But this person, it wasn't their only car. It was sitting in their driveway. God said, there's something more productive that can happen with this. Give this as a sacrifice and I'm going to bless you in another area of your life. And the person waited. The person was busy. The person was wrestling with this. 1 week goes by, 2 weeks goes by, a few weeks go by, and the car gets stolen. Now, I'm not saying that God stole the car, but I'm saying God probably knew that the car was going to get stolen. But the person missed their blessing. They could have had a sacrifice that would have brought something productive and beautiful in their life. But yet, in the end, they ended up with the car, without the car anyways, but without the blessing too. So what is the word I think that God is telling us? Man, don't miss your opportunities to sacrifice. Whether it's something physical, or whether it's, man, lifting your hands, or whether it's dancing before the Lord, or whether it's just singing really loud. Man, don't miss your opportunities to sacrifice.
There's always opportunities around us to do that. And, you know, when we worship, especially like in moments where it would be unexpected, or, you know, even when we're here, things begin to change. And I want to read you something that I think applies to everybody. The word, Psalm 50:14-15, make thankfulness your sacrifice to God. And keep the vows you made to the Most High. Then call on me when you are in trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me glory. I love this because, you know, we sang this song today about, I'm going to get my blessing right now. You know, people come into church and say, I'm going to get my blessing. But sometimes we come empty-handed. You know, we're expecting a blessing, and we give what when we come in? You know, it's an exchange. When we come in and we worship, things happen. You know, God begins to open doors for us. Change happens in us. But, you know, when it says, make thankfulness your sacrifice to God, even as an adult, like we have our kids, you know, we're constantly reminding them, did you give God thanks today? Are you thankful? Wait a minute, did you forget to say thank you? You know? And they're kind of like programmed to remember, but sometimes they forget. And I think us as God's children, sometimes we forget to be thankful, even in the small things. And I was sharing how I love Pastor Pete. We've known him for a few years and now, or a number of years now. And we've seen him through some different seasons, through his high seasons and through some challenging seasons. And every time we ask, I'm sure some of you know as well, if you say, hey, Pastor Pete, how you doing? Giving God thanks, giving thanks. He always says that. But he truly lives it. And I think that's a very good example for many of us, you know, giving God thanks no matter what's going on. If we're in the valley, you know, that's the perfect time to praise. When we're on the mountaintop, that's the perfect time to praise. Wherever we are in our walk, we have to remind ourselves to be thankful in the process because, you know, God did everything for us. The fact that we would not be where we are today without his grace, without salvation, you know, and I remember being a child, like this really sunk with me. Because I grew up in church and my dad was like a huge, huge advocate for being thankful. And he said, every day that you wake up, you got to be thankful. And one of the things that stuck with me the most is I would think, my God, thank you for me being able to be in a family that knows who you are. Like when I would think about, like, what if I wasn't, you know, what journey would I have to take to find him, you know? And I know everybody's journey is different, but I just learned how to be thankful right where I was. You know, because we can take it for granted and we all come from different walks of life, but it's important. Thankfulness is a critical part of our walk as a believer.
Yeah. You know, and a sacrifice will cost you something, but there's always a payoff. There's always a harvest when we sacrifice something in obedience to God.
Yeah.
You know, there's never a time that we sacrifice something for God and there's not a return.
Yeah.
There's always a blessing when we're moving in obedience.
Yes.
You know, sometimes when I meet somebody for the first time, they'll say, oh, and they find out my age. They think I look a lot younger than my age. But I believe that's something that happens with true worshipers. When you worship, you look younger. Why? Because you can't be a true worshiper and walk around with stress. The moment that you enter in... The moment that you enter into worship, anxiety has to go.
Yes.
the moment that you enter in, everything that you're concerned about, that you're worried about, has to fall off, because you can't concentrate. As human beings, we can't concentrate on that many things at the same time. When I put my focus real strong on God, guess what? My focus can't be on my to-do list and the challenges that I'm going through and the things I'm concerned with in my life and in my family. But I begin to worship Him, and the stress cannot coexist in that environment. I can walk in this place worried about some things in my life. I can walk in this place and concerned about things in the church. But the moment that I begin to worship, really worship, I take on a different countenance. I take on a garment of praise instead of mourning. And all of a sudden, everything changes because my perspective changes. True worship does that. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. And that's really what we're doing. When we really worship God, we're casting our cares. We're saying, you know what, God? I trust You. I know this has to get figured out. I'm not living in denial. I'm just saying, I trust You. Yes. So I'm going to leave this right here, because I know every minute that I'm doubting, I'm not having faith. Every minute that I'm stressed and I'm worried, I'm not having trust. So I'm going to cast all my cares. I'm going to worship. And when I worship, I magnify God, which means I make Him larger in my life. And when I make Him larger, it forces other stuff out that doesn't belong in the first place. Worship forces stress out. And think about it in this term. You can't dance before the Lord and hang on to that stress. The moment you begin to dance before the Lord in the aisle or in the altar, the moment you begin to dance before the Lord, you got to let go of your worry. You have to make a choice. Either you hang on to your worry and not dance, or you dance before the Lord and you let go of your worry. It's a choice that we make. And that's powerful therapy right there. Look at somebody and say, that's powerful therapy. This is free. This is free right here. The altar is free. The aisles are free. The back part is free. It's free. You can dance before the Lord. You can go all out. You can worship God. And you can leave all your anxiety right before the Lord. You know, but it's going to cost you something. You have to bring a sacrifice of praise. A sacrifice of praise. It's not just a, hey, I'm lifting my hand kind of halfway up and that's going to get it. No, that's not going to get it. It's a sacrifice of praise. But I'll tell you this. Let me tell you this. Honestly, I'd rather sacrifice my pride in worship than sacrifice years of my life worried and stressed out. I'd rather somebody in the sanctuary think I'm a little crazy because I'm getting free therapy than spend years of my life stressed out and anxious. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. How do you do that, man? By getting in the presence of God. And you know what? The word baptism means to be completely saturated. When we truly worship God, we become thoroughly saturated, completely saturated in His presence. Can I tell you what kind of miracles happen when you're completely saturated in the presence of God? God doesn't just change your perspective. He changes your reality. That's what happens when we allow ourselves to truly enter in to worship.
Wow. You just brought back to my remembrance something. Really being able to take a moment and in a dark place, or when you are going through it, so to speak, to stop and say, I'm going to give a sacrifice of praise. I was remembering a few years ago when I had that really bad attack against my body that was in the natural. It was very random. It's like, what is going on? And I remember sitting on our couch and I was just like, everything hurt. And I had ice bags on my shoulders, on my knees, like on my ankle because I had turned it. And I was just like, what is happening to my body, God? This is not my inheritance. This is not what you have for me. And I don't want to be like this for my kids, for my husband. And I was just really broken. And I had the choice of just to sit there and rehearse it, which I'll be honest, there was moments I would rehearse and just think, how did this happen? How did I get here? What's going on? Why is this like this? And just, you know, kind of unravel in the same thing over and over again. And for you, it may have been something different. Maybe it wasn't something physical. Maybe it's something with finances. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's something career related, but whatever it is, we have to, I remember getting out of it and we would have these talks and one day just realizing like, I'm not going to tolerate this becoming so great that it consumes my mind to the point where then I implode. You know, we have to like pull ourselves out of it sometimes and just say, I'm not going to allow this situation because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If he can steal your joy, if he can steal your sanity, if he can steal the things that are supposed to be given to God, our heart, our mind, then, you know, we've lost a lot of ground. But we have to be able to say, I'm standing on the word of God. I know who God is to me. I know what God can do for me because he can do all things. And if his word says I'm more than a conqueror, I can take that to the bank. So I don't know when this thing is going to break, but I know that it's going to have to break because he said it. So I remember like getting to that place and just knowing a breakthrough is coming no matter what it looks like right now. And, you know, sometimes that's our motivating factor for sacrificing. But I think like at the end of the day, something that's produced within us in those moments is just being seeing God's faithfulness and saying, because you are so faithful, because we know that you're true to your word, I'm just going to give thanks anyway. So Isaiah 61:3, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. When we come in with a garment of praise, I mean, picture yourself. I'm coming in, I'm putting on praise. I'm putting on the mentality of I'm going to worship no matter what. There is, it's just, it cannot withstand the presence of God. Yes, we can be attacked. Yes, we can face ugly things. But once we start to push in on God's word and stand on his word, you begin to elevate yourself above what is going on around you. And God will prove his faithfulness. I love when he said in his word, test me in this. You know, because I apply that to so many things. I'm like, I'm testing you in this, God, because I know that you're going to come through. But, you know, don't let worry. Don't allow the enemy to steal your blessing. Don't allow him to steal your moments with God, your breakthroughs with God, because he tries to steal your joy and steal your moment of sacrificing worship. Because we all can be victorious in him. Amen. His word said it.
Well, one of the dark moments that I had, I was going through a really difficult time, and I found the strength to praise and worship God. Mm-hmm. And those were some of the most beautiful moments. Not what I was going through was beautiful, but the moments in praise and worship were awesome. And it was so real, it was so raw, it was so passionate, it was desperate, you know, praise. And in the midst of that season, I said, man, I don't want to lose this. Even when I get my stuff back together, I don't want to lose this worship because this is powerful. And so I prayed this prayer in that season. I said, God, don't ever let me lose my midnight hour praise. When you get me out of all this and everything's good and everything's fine again, God, don't let me go back to where I was. I want to be that one that's able to be on the mountaintop with everything all right and still praising him, you know, and I said, you know, I want to praise you like, you know, like it's still this dark moment, like my life depends on it. You know, we should worship. And I think that's a great secret for us. Worship like your life depends on it. We do that. That sounds extreme. We worship like our life depends on it because it actually does. When we worship, God fills us with his life. Because let me tell you something, what I got is not enough. But when he fills me up with his life and his strength, let me tell you, it's more than enough. This is what John 10:10 says. You started to quote it. The thief's purpose is to kill, steal, and to destroy. We feel that effects in the world that we live in. There's stuff getting killed, stolen, destroyed all over the place. But Jesus said, I come to give a rich and satisfying life, to give life and life more abundantly. When I enter into true worship, real worship, and I'm not holding back, I'm giving a sacrifice of praise, he fills me up with so much life. So much life, so much strength. And so even when my prayer is this, even when all my enemies are scattered and all the doors are opening to me and all the opportunities and they're there. And when God gets me out of my problems and there's money in my wallet, there's money in my bank account, everything's good with my wife, my kids are healthy. God, let me still praise you like it's my last hope. God, let me praise you like this might be the last time I ever get to praise you. God, let me praise you for real. Let me never lose my midnight hour praise. See, true worship will cost you something. It's a sacrifice, but it's worth it. It's worth it because God always has something on the other end. There's never a time that we sacrifice that God doesn't bring something in response to that sacrifice.
I'm reminded of an analogy that many of us that have been in church have heard, but it's about the olive, and when it's crushed, it produces the oil, and which the oil is very precious, you know? And I think when we go through those moments that there's something so precious that is produced in that worship, that connection with the Lord in our darkest moments. And I was reminded today about Paul and Silas when they were in jail and they were persecuted and they didn't know if their lives would end that night. You know, that I'm sure there was like the threat of beheading. There's a threat of dying, of crucifixion. I mean, it's just, there was so much in front of them that could have, that was daunting. But what did they start to do in that moment? They started worshiping, they were singing, and we see what happened. You know, the doors opened for them. And, you know, so many times we get, the enemy wants us to feel so downcast that we can't, that we feel like we can't. But there's always an opportunity to do it. We have to take those opportunities.
Amen. Would you stand with me today? I believe that God has given us an opportunity today, and I don't know what it is where you are today. Maybe you're at a place where you're like, man, this is my midnight hour. Or maybe you're saying, you know what? Thank God I'm not in my midnight hour. I'm back on the mountaintop. But maybe you're on the mountaintop and you've got in a rut with your relationship with God, and you're just kind of going around the mountain, going through the motions and not really connecting with him. Would you bow your heads with me? I want to pray for you today. And maybe you want to come down to the altar, or maybe you want me to pray for you right where you are today. But I just want to make this moment available because God wants to touch you today. God wants to speak to you. God wants to take you out of the rut. If your worship has grown stale, he wants to make it fresh again. He wants to breathe new life into you. Maybe you're stressed out today. Maybe you've been anxious about some stuff. Maybe there's some things in your life that you're worried about. And God wants to take that worry off of you. God wants to teach you a new way. And that's the way of the worshiper. So God, I thank you, Father, for each and every person here today. Lord, I pray that you would touch them, God. I pray that you would, God, stir their heart, Father. Stir their heart today, God, that they would find the secret of worship. God, that they can come to you, that they can come to your house. They can get in their car. They can find a place in their home, and they can begin to worship, and every single stress and anxiety can fall off their life. God, I thank you for the power of worship, God. I thank you, God, for giving us a lifestyle of worship. God, I thank you, Father, if we're stuck in a rut with worship, God, bust us out of that rut. God, if our worship has grown stale, God, Father, make it new again. Make it fresh again, God, so that we can experience something powerful. Not just going through the motions, Not something just that's routine, God, but something that's real. God, we want to experience something in you that's real, that's true. God, we want to be connected, God. Father, because when we know we're connected to you in worship, God, everything else pales in comparison. Everything else gets stripped away that doesn't belong. God, we just want, Father, that worship in Jesus' name.
Yes, God, and we just repent for holding back at any point, Lord. We repent of maybe not giving you our best, God. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us, Father. Help us to expand as your worshipers, God. We ask that you would peel back any layers, God, that we have built upon ourselves that would hinder us from getting into worship fully the way that you have designed us to be. God, we thank you, Father, for just being who you are. And today we stir up thankfulness in our heart. Lord, let your spirit remind us when we need to be thankful. Prompt us, God, when we need to take moments to worship and just say a thank you to you, God. I thank you, Father, for divine opportunities of being able to have a sacrifice of praise, God, being able to have a sacrifice in a generous manner, Father. We just thank you, Lord, because we know that you are ordering our steps, Father. We leave no room for fear. We leave no room for anxiety right now, God, and we continue to take on the mind of Christ, Lord, that it would be in us, God, that we walk fully, we walk as one with you, we walk in your footsteps, God. We just thank you for your love. We thank you, God, for your restoration, and we thank you, God, that you are with us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Just bow your heads one last time. I got to do this. I got to do this before we leave. Maybe you're saying, Pastor, I feel a little disconnected in my walk with you, with God. I feel like I've gotten a little disconnected. I never like to end a service without asking this. You say, Pastor, I need to reconnect with God today. I need to reconnect. I don't know how I got disconnected. I don't know how I kind of drifted, but I need to reconnect with him. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you today. Amen, 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 amen. This is what it's all about right here. This is what it's all about right here. If you lifted your hand, I want to pray with you right where you are. Some of our prayer team can come to you. But I just want you to repeat this prayer after me. And everybody, you can repeat this with us. Say, Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you for dying on a cross for me, for saving my life, for taking away all my sins, for taking away all my shortcomings. I receive that free gift. Thank you for connecting me with the Father. Thank you for connecting me with the with eternal life. I receive your free gift. Draw me closer to you. Walk with me and teach me how to walk with you. I want to be just like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God the praise today.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Please consider planting a seed in this ministry. Any seed helps us get the gospel message out to those that would otherwise not hear it. If you want to give, please click the link below in the episode notes. If you're in the area, come visit us in Pembroke Pines, Florida. May God bless you, and may you possess the promise God has for you.